Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Sean Reed, pastor of the Otsego and Pawpaw Seventh-day Adventist churches. And now, here's Pastor Sean.
Well, good morning again, and happy Sabbath. You know, I've been thinking over this past week, actually the past 2 weeks, since my family and I were last here, well, first here as well, and it seems like a lot has happened. We've had the opportunity to be at Get Real for Kids the last couple weeks, and that's been wonderful. And there was a fall gathering, fall festival at the Lamphere's, which was not as planned because God sent some rain that evening. And so we all got to stay indoors, but that was a lot of fun. There was good food. And John sent a picture to me of my son. I think it was my son with a plate with like 16 desserts on it. And so they enjoyed that. We even got a hayride in. The rain stopped enough to have a hayride, and we made it back with enough gas in the tractor to get back, so that was great as well. That was a blessing. And this past Tuesday, of course, Get Real for Kids, and had a chance to stop by on Thursday to see what's happening at the community center, and that's exciting, of what's being done, such a well-organized ministry of reaching out and helping people in need in our community. Juanita was listing some of the ministries that are happening. And I don't know, if I knew how active you were as a church, I may not have come as your pastor. I feel like not at all. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. There's so much going on here at the Otsego Seventh-day Adventist Church, and it's exciting to have a chance to be part of that. And I want to encourage you, if you're not active in one of the ministries, no, probably all of you are, but if you're not, there's something you can get involved in. There's something for every single person. Let's pause and have a word of prayer again as we prepare to open the Bible. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you that you will speak to us through the Bible. Please help us to understand, and may your Spirit apply the message of Scripture to our lives so we leave changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you like to read? My kids love to read. My wife and I, we love to read as well. I remember as a kid, I just devoured books. In fact, I had a goal in elementary school to read every book in the school library. And I did, including the encyclopedias. It was fascinating. I skipped the dictionary, though. My son, one of his favorite books several years ago, he's kind of grown out of it now. It was a kind of make-your-own-adventure book. It was about the Oregon Trail. And it gave you options at the very beginning of the story. You had three story paths that you could start out on. So you could either be someone who is braving the Oregon Trail with a young family, or you could be a guide who is guiding a wagon train along the Oregon Trail, or thirdly, you could be heading for California during the gold rush. And so at the beginning, you had one of three choices. But then through the story, there were 42 different choices you could make. And there were 21 possible endings to the story. And so depending on what choice you would make, am I going to spend an extra week here resting my cattle before I continue on the trail? Or am I going to leave right now? When I meet some Native Americans, am I going to shoot them as soon as they come close? Or am I going to hope that they're coming in peace? And there were lots of choices to pick and 21 different possible endings. You know, life is like that, isn't it? You start out probably with more than three choices, and through your life, you have more than 42 choices, and probably there are more than 21 possible endings. But life is a sequence of choices. And the choices we make determine the end of our lives. Now, we recognize, of course, there are lots of things beyond our control. There are circumstances and realities in life that impact us that we have no ability to influence. But God has created each one of us with the ability to choose, with the power of choice. And he's also given us the freedom to make choices. We like making choices. You're going to make some choices after church when you go to lunch. There'll be lots of things to eat as you go through the line. You won't be able to eat everything. You'll have to choose something you're going to have to pass over, and then you're going to be sitting at a table talking, and someone's going to say, "This is the best dish I've ever had," and you're going to go, "Oh no, I didn't get any of that," and you'll rush back to the table, and it will be gone because everybody else knew it was delicious, and I didn't because this is just my second pot. Like, you know, there are dishes you go through line, and you've got to get through line early on. Anyway, we'll move on. David was teaching the Sabbath school lesson this morning, and he was sharing something very fascinating. And then he said, "I've gotten so far off track from the lesson, I don't know how I'm ever going to get back. And so I'm going to try to learn from his example and lesson this morning." You know, God tells us exactly what he wants the end to be. God has a dream, a plan for your life and for my life. One of my favorite verses in the book of Jeremiah is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, where God says, "I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." What is the end that God wants to give you and me? The end that God longs to give you is an eternity spent with Jesus. Go with me to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, which is the last chapter of the Bible. Revelation chapter 22. And beginning in verse 1, just picture with me what John the Revelator describes as what God wants the end to be. And really, the end is just the beginning of an eternity spent with him. Revelation chapter 22, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruit, yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." And notice the description of what life is like there. "There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face. His name will be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." This is the end, the expected end, that God wants you and me to have. As he thinks about your life, as he thinks about mine, as God contemplates all the choices he's giving you and giving me, that's where he wants us to end up, before his throne, serving him in a land that is free of suffering and sin and sorrow and sadness. That's the plan, that's the dream that God has for you and me. But whether or not we experience that dream rests on the choices that we make in our lives. You know, I like to think that God's plan for you, God's plan for me, is a straight line from where you are to eternity with him. A straight line. But then we reach a juncture in life where we have a choice to make. And if you're like me, there have been a few times where you've chosen a path that leads you maybe just ever so slightly off the path, that straight line from where you are to eternity with Jesus. And so what does God do? He has a new plan. And what's his new plan? It's a straight line from where you are to eternity with Jesus. And by God's grace, we continue to walk that path with Jesus, but we may make a choice to deviate from that plan. And in a moment of discouragement or frustration or simply because we don't properly evaluate the options before us, we don't seek his counsel, we find ourselves deviating from that plan. And so what does God do? He has a new plan. And what's his new plan? It's a straight line, the shortest distance from where you are to eternity with Jesus. That's his plan for you, is for you to experience this expected end of eternity with him. So I want to share with you three biblical principles that can guide us as we face choices in our lives. And the first one is this: keep the end in sight every day, every moment. Keep the end in sight. You've maybe done some mowing before, or maybe you've plowed a field with a tractor before. When I was in academy, I was assigned one summer to work on the farm. I had to work 6 weeks at the academy during the summer. And so there I was, and I was assigned to the farm, which was wonderful because I got to drive a tractor. And I was 15 years old, and that was exciting to drive a tractor. It's still exciting to drive a tractor. And I was supposed to disc a field, and so I'm driving across the field, and I kept looking back just to make sure I was going straight and everything was doing well behind me. And you can imagine what the furrows looked like in that field. It was back and forth, back and forth. And one of the older and wiser students stopped me after I'd made a couple passes. And he said, "Sean," he says, "what you do is you pick a point way far beyond the end of the field. And you just keep your eye on that. And you go straight towards that. You don't look behind you. You don't look to the side. You keep your eye fixed on something, not at the end of the field, but far beyond the field. And that point will guide you. And when you get to the end and you turn around, you'll have neat, straight furrows behind you." And so that's what I did. And it made a tremendous difference. The same can be true when you're mowing your lawn, right? You can be all over the place, but if you have something fixed straight in front of you, then you will have a straight line. If you and I, in living our lives, if we will keep the end in sight every day, every moment, we will find ourselves heading to that expected end that Jesus has for you and me. The Bible helps with that. In fact, even just reading the last book of the Bible, Revelation, you see again and again this central event, and the central event in Revelation is the second coming of Jesus. Jesus wants us to keep our eyes focused on his return. Again and again in the book of Revelation, we find this theme of Jesus is coming back soon. In fact, in the last book of Revelation, in the last chapter of Revelation, he tells us three times, "I am coming quickly." In verse 7, in verse 12, in verse 20, Jesus is coming back soon. And when you and I keep the end in sight every moment, every day, we will find ourselves walking the path with Jesus more faithfully. Jesus set that example for us. The verse that Alan read this morning in Hebrews chapter 12, Jesus, as he was hanging on the cross, what did he keep in mind? Who for the joy that was set before him? What was the joy set before Jesus? Yes, it was being reunited with his Father following the resurrection, but there was another joy that Jesus kept in mind as he hung on the cross and endured the pain and shame of the crucifixion. It was the joy of coming soon, soon for us, and calling out of the grave all those who have died trusting in Jesus. It was the joy of seeing those faithful saints reunited with their family and friends who had grieved their death. It was the joy of seeing you looking eagerly to heaven as he returns, thrilled that Jesus had come back to take you home. That joy kept Jesus on the cross, the joy set before him. And so you and I, as we go through life and we go through difficulties in life, there are so many distractions in life. There are so many, the devil, he works overtime to try to get our gaze away from Jesus. But let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep the end in sight. Every day, every moment, if you want to spend eternity with Jesus, keep that in mind, and it will transform the way you and I live our lives. Here in Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, Revelation 22, verse 7, Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Jesus says, "I am coming quickly." Jesus is returning soon. Now, we know we've been preaching that message as a church. You know, it's really remarkable to stand in this church where 150 plus years ago, Adventist pioneers stood and preached about the coming of Jesus. And here we are 150 plus years later, and we're still preaching that Jesus is coming soon, and he is. You know, Peter reminds us that the way we experience time is different from God. A day with the Lord would be like 1,000 years for us, and 1,000 years with the Lord is just like a day for him. And so we recognize that the way we experience time is different because our lives are so short. But Jesus is coming soon. His promises are sure. We can trust him. We can rely on that. And we look at the world around us and we say there's no way he couldn't be coming soon because this world can't last much longer. Everything seems to be falling apart. But notice what Jesus said. In light of him coming quickly, he said, "Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Jesus said, because I'm coming back soon, there's a special blessing for those who listen to what I communicate and follow, those who treasure the messages from heaven. In fact, Revelation begins that way. If you go to Revelation chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Revelation begins with this proclamation that this is a message about and from Jesus. And verse 3 of Revelation 1 says, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." There is a blessing for reading and hearing and following the instructions that we find in the Bible. You know, think about it. Some of us like to make choices. But even if you love making choices, there are always going to be times when you wish you didn't have to make a choice. Have you had an experience like that? A moment in life where it's a difficult decision to make. It happens when you're a kid. And your friends say, "Hey, let's go do whatever it might be. Let's go throw eggs at Mrs. Smith's house." And you know that that's not something you should do. Your parents told you not to go throw eggs at Mrs. Smith's house. And even if they hadn't, you know that's not a nice thing to do. But your friends are saying, "Let's do that." And you want to go do something with your friends, and you don't want to be the only person who's not going to go throw eggs at Mrs. Smith's house. And you wish, "Oh, I wish I didn't have to make this choice." We all have moments like that, where we don't want to make the choice. But you know a way that makes the choice easy? Is if you think, you know what? My friends want me to go throw eggs at Mrs. Smith's house, but my parents are going to go take me water skiing. Well, you want to go water skiing, don't you? So what do? You don't throw eggs at Mrs. Smith's, and this is not a story from my childhood, nor from the childhood of my kids, just to let you know, nor from the childhood of my wife. That's just a made-up story. But the reality is, if you have something bigger to look forward to, and you recognize that the choice you make in this moment is going to impact that greater desire you have, it changes the choice you, or at least it makes the choice you're making easier. And if you and I keep the end in sight, that helps us in making our choices. Make every choice, large and small, based on the desired end. As Christians, we want to spend eternity with Jesus. And so when we have choices to make, make those choices based on the desired end. If I want to spend eternity with Jesus, what choice should I make today? Don't throw eggs at Mrs. Smith's house. It's simple. I like what Billy Graham said. He says, "I've read the last page of the Bible. It's all going to turn out all right." And it will. And that's the experience we look forward to, the experience we want to have. Jesus said that blessed are those who keep the words of the prophecy of this book. Those who persist in obedience to God's word. You know, it's great to read the Bible. I remember somebody had told Mark Twain, the well-known American author and humorist, that he wanted to travel to the Middle East and he wanted to find Mount Sinai and stand on the top of Mount Sinai and recite the Ten Commandments. And Mark Twain says, "I have a better idea. Why don't you stay here and keep them?" There's something to be said for following the instruction that God gives us. And so make every choice, large and small, based on the desired end. That holds true at work, doesn't it? In the way that we work, it holds true in the way we interact with other kids at school. As parents, that impacts how we parent our kids. In every aspect of life, if we keep the desired end in sight, it impacts the choices we make, large and small. And so we can faithfully apply biblical principles, and we can persist in following Jesus, even when there are immediate challenges or a lack of visible progress. Lack of visible progress. Have you noted that in your life before? Where it seems like you're going over and over the same ground again and again in your Christian experience? Where there's no visible progress? But keep the end in sight. Every moment, every day. And make every decision, large and small, based on the desired end. Persist through Christ's strength, and you will find yourself where you long to be. The well-known Christian author C.S. Lewis says, you can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. And you can. No matter how far off of the path God has outlined for your life you have deviated, there is a new path from where you are straight to eternity with Jesus. And starting today, that can be your destination. Choices are powerful, and patterns of choices are especially powerful. Patterns of choices make habits. Maybe you have some habits in your life. Habits can be very simple. It might be the order that you get ready in the morning. It might be how you brush your teeth. You probably, when you go, you do brush your teeth, right? Somebody was talking about teeth, and we do want to remember to brush those teeth. Floss those teeth as well. That's not something I do, and that's too much personal information, but it's not something I do often enough. I do remember going to the dentist a couple years ago, and the hygienist cleaned my teeth, and she says, well, whatever you're doing with your teeth, just keep doing it. They look great. And then she asked me, well, how often do you floss? And I says, well, that was the last time I was here. Not quite. But yes, we want to take care of our teeth. But you probably have a habit of how you probably don't even think about it when you go into the bathroom to brush your teeth. You just do it because you've created a habit. There's been a pattern of behaviors that have created a habit, choices that you've made. Maybe it was because this is the way your dad or mom went about it, and so you just kind of do it the same way as well. Patterns of choices are powerful. Habits are powerful. And when you and I can have a sequence of positive choices that we make routinely on a daily basis, guided by God's word and the instruction of his word, those habits can become extremely powerful in helping us live the way that God is asking us to live. I like a quote from Steps to Christ, a little book by Ellen White, which I understand she actually preached from this pulpit. Someone was telling me right here, just incredible to think about that. But Ellen White in the book Steps to Christ, which is a book that has been translated in almost every language in the world, and probably one of the most widely published books other than the Bible. And in Steps to Christ on page 57, she speaks about the patterns in our lives. While we cannot do anything to change our hearts or to bring ourselves into harmony with God, while we must not trust at all to ourselves or our good works, our lives will reveal whether the grace of God is dwelling within us. A change will be seen in the character, the habits, the pursuits. The contrast will be clear and decided between what they have been and what they now are. The character is revealed, not by occasional good deeds and occasional misdeeds, but by the tendency of the habitual words and acts. As you and I keep the end in sight, eternity with Jesus, as we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, there will begin to be a change in our lives. And it won't be a forced change. It will be the natural outgrowing of making choices to be right with Jesus, to walk with him, to keep our eyes fixed on him. There will be a change that comes in our lives. As C.S. Lewis says, you cannot change the beginning. But you can start where you are and change the ending. And I might say God changes the ending, doesn't he? As you and I give our lives and submit them to him. Mechanical engineers tell us, maybe John can correct me if I'm wrong here, mechanical engineers tell us that it takes 6 times as much energy to start a flywheel from a dead stop than it does to keep it going once in motion. In other words, it only takes 1/6 of the effort to keep it going once you're doing something positive in your life, or if you're a flywheel spinning, as it does to stop it a bit and then start again and stop it again and start again. You know, I noticed that in my life. A little over a year ago, I just said, I'm going to run a 5K every day. And so every day I would run a 5K. It's 3.1 miles. And so I did every day. Every day I ran a 5K. And it didn't seem like a big deal. I enjoy running and I've run a few marathons. And so a 5K is a lot less than 26.2 miles. And so every day I would do that. Every day, every day, every day. Some days it would be cold and wet and raining, but out running. I did that month after month after month after month after month. I did that for 10 months. And then I skipped a couple days to go backpacking. And I thought, well, backpack, maybe I should count. No, I said I would run a 5K every day, so I won't count my miles hiking. My son and I went backpacking in the Manistee River. And I thought, well, that's okay. I'll just make those days up. And so I did. But then there was a day when I was like, I just don't really feel like, I'll just make that day up another time. And before you know it, I came to the end of the year and I was a month short. A month short. You know, it's easier just to keep it going. And if I hadn't ever skipped a day, oh, once I skipped a day and then another day, it's hard to get that momentum going again. And it just doesn't have to do with exercising, with anything in our lives. You know, it's that way with coming to church, isn't it? Oh, last year and a half has been terrible, hasn't it? With COVID, and many of us have gotten out of the routine of going to church every morning, every Sabbath. You know, you can go to church for 3-4 weeks in a row, and then you skip a Sabbath because, I don't know why, just skip a Sabbath. And then the next Sabbath, it's almost easier to stay home than go to church. It's that way with everything in our lives. Drinking enough water, having devotions, whatever it might be, keeping that momentum going, and making that positive choice again and again is a much better way to live than living our life in fits and starts. So habits are incredibly important. And so if you and I will keep the end in sight every moment, every day, and make every decision big and small based on the desired end, we will begin to have habits in our lives that are in harmony with getting ready for eternity, with being ready when Jesus returns. And then finally, as we look for Jesus' return, as we live our lives in anticipation of that moment, go with me to Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 and 13. Again, Jesus says, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So we could say, Jesus would say today in English, I am the A and the Z, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. As you and I live our lives, keeping the desired end in sight every moment, every day. And as we make our decisions, big and small, based on that desired end, trust in who Jesus is. Trust in who Jesus is. He is the beginning and the end. And he will be active and real. In fact, he is. There's no will about it. He is active and present in your life. Jesus, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the bright and morning star. As you and I live life, we mess up. We get off track. Sometimes we feel as if it is hopeless because we've been over and over the same ground again. We've struggled with the same destructive habits. We've continued to make the same choices again and again, and we feel as if it's almost not worth continuing to try. But Jesus makes the difference. A man was walking by a baseball field, and there were two little league teams playing a baseball game. And he asked one of the boys who was one of the players sitting on the bench, and he said, "How's the game going?" And the boy says, "Pretty good." He says, "What's the score?" 18-0. "Well, who has the 18? "They do. We've got the nothing." And he says, "Well, you don't look all that discouraged about it." He says, "Why should we be? We haven't even been up to bat yet." Getting up to bat was going to change the dynamic. They had had the first half of an inning, and they're simply on the losing side, right? They can't score. But they were going to get up to bat, and they'd have a chance. You know, you may go through your life until you meet Jesus and invite him into your life. You've not had a chance yet to score. But once you invite Jesus into your life, it makes all the difference. Let's live our lives keeping the end in sight every moment, every day. And let's make our choices based on that desired end. We want to spend eternity with Jesus. We want our kids to be there spending eternity with Jesus. We want our friends and family members and church family to spend eternity with Jesus. And then daily trust in who Jesus is. Not who you are, but who he is. He is the beginning. He is the end. Let's live our lives for the beginning and the end. Let's live our lives for the end. Let's live our lives for Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we long to spend eternity with Jesus. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget that's the desire that you have implanted in each and every heart. So we pray that you would help us to keep the end in sight. Every moment, every day, that we would make every choice based on that desire to spend eternity with Jesus. And that you would lead us every day, every moment to trust in Jesus and who he is. He's the beginning and the end. He's the all-sufficient one. He's the loving Savior. He's the faithful friend. May we spend eternity with you as our desire. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Sean Reed, pastor of the Atsiko and Pawpaw Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed his sermon, why not visit one of his churches this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You'll find the Atsiko Seventh-day Adventist Church at 218 South Farmer Street in Atsiko, and their church service begins at 11 a.m. Or you could visit the Pawpaw Seventh-day Adventist Church at 60409 M40 Highway in Pawpaw, and their church service begins at 11 a.m. as well. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.